in the future. After the big war, there will come a time to rebuild and a need for a new and special kind of soldier.
This man is carrying a loaded weapon.
Prepare to meet the next great American hero.
That's where you come in.
Are you serious?
His name is...
Hell. Sam Hell.
Never heard of you.
We're going to Frogtown.
And this is the adventure he's been waiting for.
We're gonna get him out, and then you're gonna get him pregnant.
And if anyone's got a chance in hell of rescuing the virgins from the evil clutches of Toady...
It's a miracle.
Right. Let's go.
And escaping from Frogtown...
Go, 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 go!
It's Sam.
Shit. Holy shit!
Be there for the action. The adventure.
Oh, Sam!
What are you doing?
And be there for the dance of the three snakes.
Dance or die!
We're all gonna die.
When hell comes to Frogtown. Starring Rowdy Roddy Piper as Sam.
Get off!
You are one weird dude.
Sandal Bergman as Nurse Spangle.
Wired to blow.
Hell comes to Frogtown.
Eat lead, froggies!
Hello and welcome to another episode of When Wrestlers Act. I'm John Cronshaw and I'm joined today by my good friend Scott Thirlbeck. We're going to be talking about an interesting film today.
We are.
Hell Comes to Frogtown, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Chosen by me, I'm afraid to say.
Yeah, so Scott's not a wrestling fan, so I think he wanted to choose a film that didn't have wrestling in, but had a wrestling star. So he did bring along with him Hell Comes to Frogtown. What did you make of the film, Scott?
It was a surprise. It was chosen for two reasons, apart from the wrestling connection. The title is intriguing, Frogtown. It catches the eye, catches the imagination. And it features Rowdy himself, who is one of the few wrestlers I've seen starring in a film, namely They Live. And I knew it was possible a good performance could ensue simply from having him there.
Well, They Live is obviously a classic, so I mean, it's... This one didn't quite reach the lofty heights of They Live, did it?
It didn't have the lofty budget, no.
From the outset, it's post-apocalyptic science fiction. It's set in a post-nuclear apocalypse.
A sunny, good weather post-nuclear apocalypse.
It ends up that the first scene opens and you've got all these shots of nuclear blasts going off and someone doing a voiceover explaining that the world had been blown up and then blown up again.
Indeed. Not dissimilar to Lord of the Rings, that gravity of speech, really. It was taken back.
And so the opening scene, it zooms out from the Statue of Liberty, you know, the sign of America, the sign of freedom, the sign of hope.
Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. There's no Planet of the Apes references within this film whatsoever.
Not at all. But they trick us. They trick us, don't they? It's not the Statue of Liberty. It's a model.
And I think that was a metaphor. But the guy who's holding the model gets shot. Then the credits roll. And so the first proper scene has Roddy Piper essentially tied up on a chair. He's been interrogated for alleged sexual assault. But then it's okay because it ends up that the girl he sexually assaulted has got pregnant.
So she's fine.
Yeah.
She's fine with it now.
So
now it's ended well. Sam Hell, we should be fair. Our hero's name. Sorry?
No, we don't know what the hero's name is at this point of the film. I don't think we get told the name of our main character, the protagonist, about an hour and a half in, maybe.
You're quite right. It's clearly intentional.
Yeah.
It does ramp up the mystery. Ooh. He is the man of few words.
Yeah, and the words that he does say aren't very well written,
no.
Let's say.
No.
So, he's been interrogated by this, basically the girl's dad, and he seems to be some kind of like ex-general or have some kind of sway.
Paramilitary. Yeah. He has some power. He certainly has access to a room and a chair and a bright lights and all those trappings.
But then when it ends up that the woman's pregnant, you know, I think essentially the one of the big moral themes of this film is rape's okay.
Yes.
As long as you get a pregnancy out of it.
Yes, because there aren't enough men.
Yes.
So it's important to breed from a small stock of pro-rape men.
Mm. And when when for some reason the tech meds, as they're called, which seem to be kind of government agents who are kind of invested in this fertility thing, when they realise that Rowdy Roddy Piper had
People pregnant.
Yeah, could impregnate people. That's when they save him.
From himself? No, not from himself.
No,
they just save him.
From the badass general who's going to...
Yes.
He wants to execute
him. They're saving
him,
and more importantly, his sperm, sorry to say.
And it's established early on that Rowdy Roddy Piper is possibly the most virile man in the entire world.
Literally, yeah. On the face of the earth, there is no one better.
Yeah, and the government get him to sign his contract... You know, they've granted him his freedom. They get him to sign this contract that basically makes his penis their property. And to make sure that it's their property, they put his penis within a penis prison, which is locked around his penis. And he can get to his penis via a flap. And if
when they want him to. It's...
He's essentially a sex slave.
He's emasculated.
He's a government-endorsed... sex slave and
the chastity belt.
All they want him to do is go around and impregnate as many women as possible.
for the good of the world.
And so they're going to be all these little Roddy Pipers running around in 9 months' time. This device. What did you make of this device? This penis prison.
Where do you begin? It was one of the few electronic devices in the entire film. It's a film devoid of computers or anything like. There is very little technology.
But they invented that beyond the apocalypse. They thought, right.
Yes, this is
the world's fucked. What do we need? Well, we better get these penis prisons sorted out.
Fingers crossed, one day maybe somebody can fill it. And my God, can Roddy fill a penis prison?
Yes.
He's the man.
This penis prison is basically, and I'm sorry to keep banging on about it, but this penis prison is basically like a chastity belt cum electronic tag when he runs away is out of the vicinity of the person he's meant to be with.
His minder. It's an aspo for the penis.
That's it. It's an antisocial behaviour order. And it's to keep the penis in order. They've literally got him by the balls.
Quite literally.
we get a briefing on a video, and it ends up that these frog mutants have kidnapped loads of fertile women.
Potentially fertile women.
Yeah.
Which just makes the job even harder.
So that's it. Roddy's got to go and impregnate these potentially fertile women. But before he can do that, he's got to save them.
Save them from themselves in the wild.
And that's it. So the story's set up. That's basically the setup for the film, isn't it?
He is a contracted servant of the government now, and his job is to go and impregnate women. Not for fun, for science.
And for the good of the world.
And in fairness, he's not overly keen. He's not biting at the bit to do this.
No.
Yes.
He's just an old romantic, though, isn't he? That's the thing. He's a romantic... You get hints about him having a daughter and, you know, she must have died. And he uses humour as a defence mechanism, I think, throughout.
He does. It's as if wearing an electric chastity belt and living in a post-apocalyptic world has, I don't know, killed his spirit a little. Yeah, he's not as happy as he used to be.
Yeah, but he's always there with a quick-witted quip or a joke. So Roddy's introduced to, essentially, I suppose it's his minder, who's a... blonde nurse kind of person.
A military nurse.
A military nurse.
Almost a doctor.
I think she's meant to be sexy, but she's also got that kind of Liz McDonald look going on.
A little.
Which is never good.
Just the largest glasses I've ever seen. They're enormous.
They're a bit like Michael Gove's glasses, actually. You know?
A little.
Yeah, so it was a bit odd. But so it ends up that her earrings are the, you know, they're basically the sensors for the penis prison.
They are the key to his manhood.
So throughout, he's got to stay near her. Yeah, if he runs off, then he gets his penis electrocuted. If he runs off too far, his penis will blow up.
Literally, it contains explosives.
If you try to remove the penis prison, it will blow up. So let's hope that comes into play within the storyline at some point.
It would be reckless not to. It would be foolish to ignore that.
Yeah, so they get assembled in essentially a post-apocalyptic Land Rover.
Yes.
And there's the sexy nurse. There's also a badass gun bitch.
There is, wielding a large machine gun. Not unsimilar to the kick-ass marine from Aliens, which came later. The bodyguard girl is clearly a role model for Aliens. I'd stake my reputation on that.
So they're on a mission then. They've got a drive to... it ends up that the mutants are put in these reservations because they're mutants.
Yes, they've been, as I said, they've been treated like, they treat mutants like cattle.
Yes.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah, they treat these frog-like creatures like animals.
It's absurd.
When really they're just like us and for some reason have desires for normal human women. They are clearly turned off by their own kind, which is a bit odd. But I suppose if they're mutants, maybe they've got... Anyway, I don't really want to sit here thinking about mutant sexuality, but so they go.
I'm easy, but carry on.
Yeah. So they go to this checkpoint, and there's a big tense standoff.
And then a very tense standoff of about four people.
Yeah, and then for a few seconds, it looks like they're not going to let them through, and then Roddy Piper just says, "Oh, go on, let us through," and they go, "Okay," and then they go through, and it's fine. So they go into the Badlands. Reservation.
It's Mad Max again. It's clearly you could fool yourself very easily as the car goes off slowly across the screen. A lovely wide panoramic shot of the desert. It's Mel Gibson again, only it's a pink truck.
Yeah. So you get kind of briefed a little bit more about the background of this thing, and it ends up that you know, these human females, as she refers to them, have been kidnapped by Toady.
Mm.
Who's the head of the frog people.
He's a bad man.
Yeah. So, you know, it's their mission is to rescue and impregnate. That's it.
It's that tasteful.
Yeah. I don't know. This is where the stuff about the penis prison comes into play, because Roddy Piper thinks, you know what, I'm having none of this.
Yeah.
And he goes,
middle of nowhere.
I need a wee. Can I stop? I'm just going to go and have a wee behind that bush. And they're like, yeah, okay. And then he's having a wee behind the bush. And he runs off, he goes, "So long, sisters!" And starts running away. But then his penis prison starts beeping.
And he's not running anymore.
Yeah, and he starts getting electrocuted in his balls. So it's...
A lesson learnt. He won't be making that mistake again.
Exactly. So he kind of makes his way back slowly with his... hands between his legs in great pain.
Chastised.
Yes. And then, you know, he's going to bed. It's night time. You know, they've got set up camp somewhere, somehow.
With a tent.
Yeah.
Not for him. He doesn't get a tent. Important as his balls are, they don't deserve a tent.
But he does get a sleeping bag.
He does.
And this was just... There was an excuse now to get some gratuitous... ladiness going on.
We're in the middle of nowhere. There's a randy man.
Yeah.
We know he's virile, and two female guards.
There we go. So the first one goes in. It's the nurse one with
Spangle.
The
Spangle. How can we mention her name yet?
Well, that's the name again.
We had to wait for that.
Her name's not revealed until one of the final scenes, and it's Spangle. So she's what's she do? She starts stripping off.
She does. It's part of her training and the specifics of this mission to keep him aroused, keep him ready to strike, I guess.
So it's not only have they imprisoned his penis, they've also got to keep it running.
Yes.
Keep it ticking over. let's say. But she doesn't want to be impregnated. So she you know, essentially does a little wiggle, has a little sexy dance in her underwear, and then wanders off. And so the...
And it would be fair to say that nobody really enjoys it. No one.
Yeah.
No
so,
one
so
on her off screen.
And then the she goes out, who comes in? The gum bitch.
She's feisty.
Yeah. And she's just there, gets her tits right out.
No wasting time. She knows what she wants.
Yeah,
she will take it.
She wants a rowdy Roddy piping, that's for sure.
Particularly access to the flap on the ball trap.
So she wants to break into the penis prison, and so that then fails because who should walk in again? But the nursey lady and goes, "Get out. You can't be having sex with him."
A possible hint of some jealousy here. There's some emotion here starting.
Yeah, and this is where it gets a bit odd for me. I think, you know, we've got the boobs, we've got the start of a sex scene, and then it's almost it becomes farcical and comical.
It quietly, a British director from the 60s has come on and taken over direction. To satisfy the censors, even by the standards of this film, where you can't show much, they still hold back. They could have gone further,
yeah,
and they don't. They don't.
No, I mean, what puzzles me is just the tone of the film. You know, up to this point, it's been quite serious. You know, you've had Piper essentially set up as, you know, the witty, smart ass guy with the penis.
Yes.
And, you know, everything else around it is real doom and gloom. And
business and serious.
Yeah, and, yeah, you know, we've got to impregnate these women. That's, you know, it's necessary and all this. But then you get this kind of farcical, almost carry-on film feel to it. And I don't know, the tone would just struck me as really bizarre at this point.
It was. I was waiting for someone in the background to start playing comical tuba. It was like, you know, oh, can Roddy find his penis? No, not again.
Yeah, lots of like, oh, Matrix kind of comments. Yeah, so it's a bit of an odd tone.
Confessions of a post-apocalyptic cock for hire, really. But it's a mouthful, I guess.
God.
Moving on.
Yes.
Really. This film is indeed embarrassed by its own sexuality. It's raised the subject, and when it comes to dealing with the subject, it does struggle.
Yeah, yeah, and I think this is where the runaway.
Believe
kidnapped...
the morning after this night of okay. sexually frustrated fast, the first runaway is tracked or at night. Yes, but yeah. they get a signal.
Yeah,
there's somebody out there,
and it ends up being a woman. So they in you know as you do with someone who's been kidnapped, traumatized, they drug her.
Yeah,
and essentially get Roddy Piper to rape her,
effectively.
And
to his pitiful defence, he is initially reluctant.
Yeah,
and yet again, lady nurse attempts to raise his spirits as best she can.
She does say that she's had training in seduction.
Yes, and she even has a change of underwear. She's serious.
Very clean. Very clean underwear for the...
glowing white, radioactive glow of whiteness.
Really clean, crisp underwear, good quality lingerie that she found in, you know, the post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Man-made fibres for you.
So she's just kind of, you know, shaking her stuff a bit. She's, I don't know, like she's doing a bit of a kind of burlesque kind of striptease. She doesn't show any boobs or, you know, any vaginal parts or anything
she's
like that.
She's not mere guard. She has standards.
Yeah, so, you know, she gets Rowdy, Roddy Piper, all, you know, in the mood. And then he goes and rapes up this drugged-up woman. But it's fine, because the next day...
It is a big but it is fine.
It's fine, because the next day, the woman who has been drug-raped, she gives him a hug and kisses him and goes, "Thank you for impregnating me."
I feel much better now.
Yeah. So, I mean, morality-wise, I mean, you know, the post-apocalypse, maybe moral standards change, you know, there's all that kind of relativity of, you know, your situation, but is drug raping someone a good idea? government-sponsored drug raping by a man who's been had his penis imprisoned by the government.
I think for some people, the government sponsorship would be the last straw. That would be that's too far.
Yeah.
For some people.
And then we've got the drug rape, which is just awful.
That I must admit, when I was doing some light research of this film, I wasn't too aware of that plot dynamic. This was a surprise.
Yeah.
I assumed naively, they might be willing, just swooning at Roddy's, you know, mice.
No. This is Rohypnol style.
Yeah.
Drug the woman, get her pregnant.
Chase them down like cattle and hogtie them. Drug them and rape them. Yeah.
So this is when we find out that Spangle is called Spangle anyway. This is where her plan comes together. It ends up she's got a plan.
There was a plan.
They're not going in there just to go and get these women. So for some reason, Spangle, she gets dressed up in her new underwear, which is a bit sexy actually. It's a bit kind of S&M.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, they've definitely gone for a bit of a fetish vibe. Very Depeche Mode, early 80s kind of thing.
As it appalls me to say, it is a standout costume of the film. It truly is.
And so she kind of gets shackled up, you know, and it all gets a bit kind of bondagey, and you know, there's a bit of sexual tension now between Roddy Piper and Spangle.
They are suddenly interested in each other.
Yeah,
he's
like,
certainly more interested in her.
Yeah,
than he has been to now.
When he can assert the fact that, you know, he's got power over her and he can pull on a chain and draw her close, he relishes in that. He loves that. We definitely get the thing that this Roddy Piper character is a bit of a S&M freak, because he just loves it.
He does.
He loves the shackled.
Now he's
women.
Enjoying his work for the first time.
Yeah, so she's there in her underwear, in chains, and decide to wander up to Frogtown.
It's the only way in. It's the only way he'll get in.
Yeah.
He needs a woman.
He needs a slave with him. So,
Frogtown.
I wonder why it's called Frogtown.
Good question.
Yeah. It ends up that all the mutants have frog's head. Really badly made.
Frog's heads.
Latex frog's heads.
Just the head.
Yeah.
The hands are fine.
Normal bodies. Normal skin. In fact, when we get into the bar at Frogtown, which is where they end up, they've walked through all these post-apocalyptic ruins to get to this bar, and there's a stripper, and you think, there's a woman, she's jiggling her stuff around.
We see her feet first, the good feet.
Yeah.
And there we go.
Good legs, you know. She's got good underwear. She's got
good moves.
Yeah, she knows how to
shimmy.
She knows how to move. And it pans up to her face, and oh my God!
She's a frog.
She's got a frog's head
and lipstick
that doesn't really move.
Not much. There wasn't much life up there.
So yeah. So we've got the sexy frog lady doing a seductive dance, and it's a bit odd. You know, all these people sat around jeering her on. Some of them are human. Some of them are frog people. And Piper, he orders a drink at the bar. Takes a sip of it.
It's a lovely bar, by the way. I must admit, it's a glowing bar. It's lit from beneath. And
yeah.
The light goes up.
It is. I can imagine
it's
it being like.
A small detail.
I can imagine it being like, you know, five quid for a pint in a place like that.
Yes,
you know? So he orders a drink and he takes a big mouthful of it.
Being a man.
Yeah. And then he goes, that tastes like industrial waste.
How does he know? How low has he sunk to this day? This job.
Yeah. And
this is no cantina, and we can't be too surprised at this drink. This is no Tatooine CD dive. The ships are available for hire. It's a very roomy bar. It's almost an empty warehouse, to be honest.
Yeah. It's certainly an interesting place. It just seems very trendy, very Leeds.
it is. You know, if you were to come back to this wasteland in a year's time, new management, new colours, and the doorway would probably have been moved to the other side. Nothing would be the same.
Yeah. So, who should be sat at this bar? Well, I mean, this is the thing. How old do you think Roddy Piper's character is?
Oh, a virile 35, 30.
Yeah.
He looks well.
He sees his friend, who he hasn't seen for years, and he says, he was 80 when I first met him when I was a little boy. So this guy, you're meant to assume, is at least 100.
He looks very well for it.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a bit of a kind of haggard prospector almost, doesn't he?
He does. He's a man from the early days of the American push west.
Yeah,
he's heading west for gold.
Well, this is what Reddy says. This is a line from the film.
He says, quote,
"He was the only man who took the time to bother with me when Roddy Piper was growing up. This guy was there,
and he took time out and bothered him.
Yeah, and his name's Lonnie.
Lonnie O'Toole.
But his nickname is Looney Tunes because he's crazy.
And he is crazy. He's got an eye patch, perfect teeth, and he growls.
And he wears a wacky cowboy hat, which I just love it. So I don't really get what his kind of position is in the film, really. I mean, he's there. He's a bit of like...
He's good luck.
Is that all he is? Is that what you think?
He's a hint to Roddy's past, and he does have a past. I don't know. If there was some fancy name like backstory, but I think that would be pushing the point a little. But he's another man, I guess, which may be part to do with it. There aren't too many men in this film. they've all been lost in the war, so... Roddy needs a male friend to platonically bond with.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I'd go with that. So what we have then is, you know, he's there at the bar. He actually gets a beer, and
he knows people.
Yeah, so he's established himself quite quickly within the bar, and he starts talking to someone who's obviously a bit of a big cheese in the bar, and you know, he's there. He's got a white suit. He's got a fez.
A lovely fez.
He's got a frog's face.
A frog's face. He's a well-spoken frog.
He's
a lounge lizard. He's charming.
He's a lounge amphibian. Well, he's
true. He's a little moist.
Yeah, so he's basically wanting to buy Spangle, and he's offering. I think was it lilies he was calling the currency? Was it like, can I give you 30?
I believe so. It's difficult. It was difficult to know what they were saying.
Because they were talking through. It was like talking through the frog voice. Give you 30 lilies for the slave girl. So,
I don't think they could afford to dub it afterwards.
Yeah,
it was.
But posher, so it would have been. I will give you 30 lilies for the slave girl.
She's rather lovely and delightful.
Yeah,
and it was a good deal. It was fairly civilized.
But then this chump, this mean frog called Bull, who I think must have been one of Toadie's goons. He came down and he says, "Right, I'm going to start the bidding."
And he's angry.
He bids 5 rubles for the for the woman.
What do you do with for an offer like that?
So and nobody else puts in a bid. They're all afraid of Bull. That's the thing. They're all afraid of him. And so
he has a whip.
Yeah,
which is a look getting the fool out of the word bull, bullfrog, bullwhip.
I suppose
that's making that word work.
Yeah. So he basically whips Spangle, but in a way that kind of lassos her. So he pulls her in, and then he's
a violent flamenco move.
Yeah. So she's his basically, and the sale's done.
And Roddy's lying a little bit dazed for being punched.
Yeah. So
I'm not seeing much fighting from him.
But this is where we find out what Roddy Piper's name is.
Mm.
Yeah. So we've already got this far into the film. He's at Frogtown. His name's Sam Hell. And now it makes sense. Why is the film called Hell Comes to Frogtown? It's because Sam Hell goes to Frogtown.
The clouds part, and the sun shines.
But I think it's got a double meaning.
It does.
Because Hell is also, you know, it could mean that something bad's happening at Frogtown.
It could be.
So I like what they did there.
And it's an expression I don't know much about, but what in the name of Sam Hell? It's something you might hear.
Well,
American saying.
Yeah, so that
what that means.
That must have come from this film.
that's its origin.
That's
along with the two or three previously mentioned films that have clearly been influenced by this. So they're separated. They've been split up. Sam, with a name, is now removed from the Spangle.
Yeah.
Which isn't healthy, which is not good. It's not good for these two to be apart, as we know.
Remember the earring.
The earring.
Yeah, the earring, penis prison, GPS kind of tracker thing.
They can't go their separate ways.
Yeah, so... But it's okay, it doesn't go off. Doesn't go off quite yet. And at this point, we get the frog stripper introducing herself.
Oh, frog on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's the inside person.
She's the mole.
Yeah.
Frog's the mole.
She's a frog. She's a frog.
She is indeed a frog.
Not a mole. And she introduces herself. Her name's Arabella.
It's a pleasant name for a frog.
Absolutely pleasant name. And she spends quite a bit of time trying to seduce Roddy Piper.
A lot.
And it's great because Roddy Piper is like, no.
No.
Yeah.
No.
But then he kind of starts coming around to it. He's like, well, you know, put this bag on your head.
Literally a bag on the head.
So she's
a Hessian sack.
Yeah, so she... It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
However, at least she is willing without the aid of drugs.
Yeah, but they don't get it on.
No.
You know, he doesn't want it if it's on a plate and in a bag.
No.
It's
sedated.
So Spangle gets taken away and you know, we've got this Arabella, you know, she wants to get all these the human females released as well. But it's revealed that these human females, there seem to be some kind of weird Christian cult who believe that the meek will inherit the earth.
Yes, extremely pacifist and non-violent.
Yeah, so that plays
like
in.
Good women should be, apparently.
I think that was one of the moral things coming out of this. This is when the penis alarm starts going off, and Roddy's quite concerned about this, and for some reason we get an interruption by a Darth Vader frog.
Indeed.
Who's this mysterious Darth Vader frog who comes in to interrupt? We don't know, but
more
he goes
mystery.
Away. So
we're spared.
Yeah. So these women start preparing Spangle for what they're calling the awakening and the dance of the three snakes, which is essentially was she tied down or held down onto a bed, and a sheet was waved over
some
her.
Silk. Yes, she was. Erotically charged. I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
Some women danced around her.
Yeah.
Should probably work for me, I admit. But there was more going on.
Yeah. So what? Meanwhile, Roddy had been captured, and one of the frogs decided to, you know,
he was captured because he fell off a balcony. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let's be honest. He's clumsy.
Yes, he's clumsy.
The clown.
Is it? Yeah. Again. Yeah. Going back to the tone of the film, is this film a comedy? Is it a serious thing?
A literal pratfall off a balcony.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. So he's tied up. He's in bondage as well. It's all getting very sexual. His shirt's off. His muscles are rippling.
And the chastity belt's on the show now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's revealed again.
Big sign on it saying, like, government property.
No tampering.
Yeah.
And a flashing red light.
Yeah.
You know it's charged.
And the frog comes over with a, you know, what do you use to remove one of these sensitive pieces of equipment?
He's determined to have the belt off, isn't he? The frog.
I don't know why. Why did he want that off? Why did he want to get rid of the chastity belt? That was never established, was it?
No, maybe he's just one of those curious people that has to know.
Yeah,
what's inside the box?
What's in the box? So he was dying to get into. into Roddy Piper's penis box.
Yes.
And what did he do? He thought, yeah, I'll use a chainsaw.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So he starts, well, he basically lurches forward with the chainsaw, and then he realises that he's run out of petrol.
Wouldn't you know it? The last thing you'd think you prepared everything for petrol.
So there's a tense moment while Roddy is, you know, he's all trussed up and waiting to have his penis box took off, and the penis alarm's going off as well because the, you know, Spangle's out of range.
Yes.
It's all very tense because
clock's ticking.
You know that he's, in one way or another, the penis is going to get it. The penis box, one of the things is if you try and tamper with it or remove it, it's going to blow up.
It will. It's a pound of plastic explosive inside it.
They tell you exactly how much, which means, like, walking around with that thing, it must be quite heavy.
I think the implication is used to carrying a little bit of weight down there, and this you know, there's a lot in there. It's a large belt. It is on the large side, definitely.
Yeah. And so this frog, he he gets
he doesn't care for plastic explosives.
He gets a chainsaw, he cuts it off, picks it up, and he goes, wired to blow. Because it hasn't blown up, and then not a second later, it blows up and kills the frogman.
I did not see it coming.
No.
I truly didn't.
That was great. So luckily, there was a bit of a flaw in the design of the penis pants, or whatever they're called, the penis prison, because you could remove it.
Well, it could have been an early model, you know.
Maybe.
First issues.
I suppose we are talking about post-apocalyptic technology. So, Piper's free. The pipe is free.
It's all free.
Yeah.
It's never seen, but it's free.
Yeah. So
he's
a
man again. He's born. It's a birth. Really.
It is.
He's born again.
And he's rescued then by Arabella, who comes in and unties him and takes him away.
After briefly waving the sack, I believe, at him and just on the off chance bag. Fun. But there's no time. There's no time.
Yeah. So we cut them to Toadie.
Mm.
Yeah, we've not really been introduced to him yet. He's a bit of a arse, isn't he?
Frankly, yeah. Very annoying.
Yeah, basically
extremely annoying.
A big, mean frogman who demands that Spangle dance or die. and he wants her to dance, do the dance of the three snakes. Tell me about the dance of the three snakes. What are the three snakes?
There is no dance in the world that could prepare you for the shock of the three snakes. The three snakes, they're not even a metaphor. They are they're three penises, basically. We discover the other mutation afflicting at least one of the frogs. It's not just the mumbling head on top of the shoulders. He's a little overblessed in that department. And as her head tracks from left to right, crawling at all points snakewards, she's not impressed. She doesn't want to dance for these snakes.
Yeah.
these are bad snakes. Bad penis snakes.
And just as the...
One, maybe. I think it was always implicit.
Yeah.
For the team, she'd have danced for one.
Danced for one of the snakes,
yeah.
But three...
No.
Yeah.
That's bulk by. No.
But right. Luckily, at this moment... Who should burst in but Rowdy Roddy Piper? And he comes out with the line, "Eat lead, froggies," and shoots up the place. It's great.
He's angry by now.
Yeah, well, you know, he's had his penis box removed, but...
Has the spy died yet?
Which spy? Arabella.
Arabella. Has she died at this point?
I don't think she has at this point, no.
Sorry to spoil it.
Yeah.
Obviously watch the film. Before you listen to us.
Don't. We're doing this so you don't have to. We're taking one for the team so you don't have to.
We've seen the three snakes for you.
So there's now a tender moment between Spangle and Roddy. You know, he's rescued her. And they have a bit of a moment.
Yes,
oh,
they,
okay.
They meet up. But there's some escaping to be done now, mainly. It's a case of running.
So the gun bitch turns up in her van, and they get led out by Lonnie. He helps them when it looks like they're about to be ambushed by frogs, and this is where Arabella gets shot
this
up.
This is where she does.
Yeah,
that's
so
painful.
So that's
he takes that badly.
Well,
he does. He does.
Yeah. So
he regrets now the offer that twice she offered, twice he refused. Now he'll never know that forbidden fruit.
And at this point, Toadie, he's on his back, he's been knocked down, and he comes out with a line. "You're letting them get away." I want you to do something about it now!
Clean up in aisle 7, please. Fix that.
This is where it cuts to Lonnie in the back of the van. You know, he's
been cradled by a young lady, isn't he?
Yeah, so they've rescued all the women. Everyone's basically escaping.
Oh, up tempo, they're happy.
Yeah. But Lonnie has some blood coming from his ears or somewhere.
It's a head wound.
Yeah.
And they're bad.
So yeah, so that's basically the end of him. He dies.
But he's happy.
Yeah.
He's had a good life.
Yeah, and he knows it.
I'm not sure where he had a good life, but he claims it's good.
He says something about, you know, he's had 9 lives and this is his last.
Clearly the blood was leaking. He was a little bit rambling, but he was close to death.
Yeah.
It's not your best work.
So, you know, so they've escaped. Yay! It's the end of the film. But wait.
Oh, is it?
But wait. The frogs are on the way. They send off missiles and...
This is the something they're going to do about it.
Oh, yes. Yes. No!
They're going to chase them.
Yeah, so
the simplest plans are the best.
They chase them in their own van. They set mortars off after them. You know, they hit the mortar lands in front of the van a few times.
It does.
And then this is where I suppose the climax of the film comes. They beat the crap out of all these frogs and
they have to abandon the vehicle eventually. They're heading for the rocks.
Yeah,
because they'll be safe in the rocks, because you're always safe in the rocks.
Yeah,
there's places to hide. You can hide behind big rocks.
So they're hiding from the frogs. Yeah, the frog people haven't found them. They've made it, but it's the Darth Vader frogs there. He's got a rocket launcher.
He's furious.
Yeah, and he's like, oh no, not the Darth Vader frog. Who is this Darth Vader frog? We don't know. It's a mystery.
I've never seen his face.
He removes his mask. And who should it be? Dun, dun, dun.
The shock of the film. Yeah. Truly.
This is where it comes full circle.
This is. Scooby-Doo has nothing on this. Yeah. This is.
Because, you know, you might have been asking earlier on, oh, I wonder what happened to the...
They've addressed all the other points so well. Yeah. Why is this strand?
This did seem like a
unfinished.
A bit of an untied end. But it comes full circle. The guy behind the mask is... the guy whose daughter was sexually assaulted at the start of the film. The paramilitary general person.
He still hadn't come to terms with it.
And then, in the typical James Bond kind of way, he explains all
he
of his...
monologues.
Yeah, he monologues and explains monologues. His dastardly plans.
He's in bed with everyone. There's plutonium going in one direction.
Yeah, uranium. The other. And he basically just wants to wipe the slate clean and do another nuclear war. So
that'll teach his daughter.
Yeah,
they should pay attention.
So they're all stood with their hands up, and you've got these. Remember the women. Remember the passive women.
Can't forget the passive women.
Yeah, the meek passive women.
Homemakers.
They're all there, stood with their hands up, and one of the passive women reaches in to Rowdy Roddy Piper's backpack. Pulls out a sword and throws it into the Darth Vader guy.
Almost through. It's for a first throw of a sword.
Yeah.
A non-throwing weapon.
That was ninja style.
It was severe.
It was amazing. So he
I don't think he even as he was dying and falling, it seems, he was in shock.
Yeah, of course. Well, you would be.
So is he dead?
Yeah. So Roddy Piper gives chase, but he's not dead.
They find the sword.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
Some blood.
And then he turns up with a essentially a rocket-propelled grenade launcher pointed at Piper.
A good old Russian cheap model.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, but it'll do the job.
And then he gets shot.
Essentially. There's no flair to it.
Yeah. He just gets shot and dies. It's not dramatic. It's just, oh, he's dead now. That's great.
I guess the closest to it would be maybe Raiders of the Lost Ark, as Indy deals with the sword-wielding maniac in the Arab town.
Right.
And just shoots him. He's tired now. He's had enough, really.
Yeah. So they return to essentially the flaming wreckage of the van.
The van, frankly, it deserved a name. It did so much for them.
And the van was gone. No, sorry, not the van was gone. Everyone was gone.
Yeah, the truck was burnt out, and where have the girls gone?
Yeah. And we realise, hang on a minute, he obviously hasn't dealt with the frog people. Ah.
There's one frog to deal with.
That's it, yeah. Yes. So we've got... Is this which frog's this? Is this the...
Toadie. Toadie still lives. Toadie's been chasing him in his four-wheel drive, and he's the one remaining impediment to their freedom.
Yeah. And this is where they have the big fight scene at the end of the film.
I guess the fight scene we've been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. At the top of a cliff, Roddy Piper versus Toadie.
No guns.
No guns, just...
Timeshare on a sword.
Just the hands they were born with.
Yes.
And there's a... You know, it looks like Roddy Piper's going to get flung off a cliff. He's on his back. He's nearly dead.
For fans of early Star Trek, the original, it was pure. it was a classic. Kirk fight for sure.
Yeah, and they had the classic kind of Three Stooges eye poke.
Yes.
Which turned the tables, the double fingers to the eyes, turn the tables.
It does work.
And what was it? They were hanging off the cliff. The frog was.
Frog was hanging off the cliff. The only thing keeping him from falling was hanging onto Roddy.
Yeah. And
what could Roddy do?
And Roddy was getting dragged. He saw the sword that had been thrown. And it was slightly out of reach. And he was being pulled and pulled. But he managed to reach it and then chopped the frog's hand off. And the frog fell to his death.
And he stayed dead.
Yeah. So that was it. And Spangle and Roddy had a big kiss.
Spangle realises to her delight that Roddy's lost his prison, his penis prison.
Yeah, and it stayed for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what a guy. And so that's the end of the film, really. They're driving away and...
Roddy in a bus full of women.
Yeah, Roddy in a bus full of women. And you know, it's clear that Spangle and Roddy are now together, but then Spangle says, we're still under contract, and Roddy says, "Oh well, you know, a soldier's work's never done."
Yeah, back to drugging and raping.
Yeah, so
maybe a holiday.
but then Spangle does say, "You know, maybe once we've impregnated all these women, we can get 2 weeks leave together."
2 weeks. It's like a lot longer than 2 weeks to get over that.
That film. So yeah, what? Come on then. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Well, someone needs to be blamed. I mean, in the same way, a good film, you need to acknowledge why it's a good film.
Yeah.
This is somebody's fault, ultimately. It's not Roddy's. You really didn't have much to work with. You could put Jamie Oliver in the kitchen for a pot noodle. You're not going to get much more than a pot noodle. Maybe some comedy falling over. He did his best. He did.
Yeah.
It was... low budget, high ambition.
Yeah.
I think they bit off more than they could chew.
Do you think they had some quite kind of lofty ideas about, you know, what would happen in a world?
How do you rebuild?
What
world do you rebuild after the apocalypse? How do you repopulate when all your men have died in war? But when it came to showing the nitty-gritties of repopulation, they shied away.
Yeah.
Yeah. They fell to comedy.
Yeah, and I think that was its undoing.
It was.
And the terrible costumes and dialogue didn't help either.
Awful scripts, the low budget. It wasn't overly long, we can say that much.
Yeah, an hour and 26 minutes, I think that was more than enough, to be honest. So we could have watched the director's cut. I'm sure there must be a 3-hour epic edition of that out there somewhere.
It's one of those strange films. The film's only an hour and a half, but the making of runs to about 7 hours. It's very comprehensive. Very comprehensive making of, in several languages. The alternative ending, unless you count stopping a film early, an alternative ending. But it wasn't the film I expected. I didn't read too much. I wanted to be surprised, and I was surprised.
I'll be honest, all I knew about it was that it had Roddy Piper in it.
There is a sequel. No one from the original is in the sequel.
Right. Any wrestlers?
I sometimes you have to stop clicking on links. that was the watershed. That was enough.
So
and some mystery.
So I mean, the story continues then. Basically, Hell Comes to Frogtown 2 is out there somewhere.
Yes.
And I don't think it's for us to review. But my God, after watching this, someone must. I think it's a duty.
I have a dark feeling one day I'm going to watch it. It'll niggle me.
No, just stay well
clear. It's too late. I've started something and I'm going to have to see it through.
Brilliant. Well, I think we'll leave it there now. I think we've suitably covered Hell Comes to Frogtown.
I promise you, as bad as this podcast may seem to you, the film is worse.
Yeah.
We've done you a favour.
In fact, to be honest, we're probably working with a very similar budget, so...
I think we've got as many microphones.
Yeah. What is it? We've got the website, whenwrestlersact.com. We've got the Twitters and Facebooks, which is both of them a WWA podcast. Remember to like the page and follow us and do all the social media stuff and Just tell your friends about us if you like what you hear, and if you don't, then just keep your dumb.
Hopefully I'm tuning in next time.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for listening, and enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.